We're starting tonight with Kapitel Samech Zayin, chapter 67. And in this edition of the Tehillim, it introduces this kapitel by saying, Zeh ha-mizmar hu nichbad me'od. This is a very well-respected, important chapter of Tehillim, Kenoda, as everybody knows. I guess everybody knows. So hopefully by the end of tonight, we'll understand a little bit more the role that this Kapitel Tehillim plays. Those who daven Nusach Ashkenaz, this chapter of Tehillim is not part of the regular davening. However, it is introduced into the davening sort of in a secondary way on various different occasions. Some kehillos, particularly the Yekesha kehillos, have the practice of reciting or even singing this chapter of Tehillim Motzei Shabbos before they daven Ma'ariv. Many people have the practice of saying this chapter of Tehillim during Sfiras HaOmer, after counting Sfira, and especially by Sfardim and many Chassidim. It's said daily, either before Psukei Dezimra, or there are also certain minhagim that recite this chapter of Tehillim at the end of Mincha before saying Aleinu. Right? Again, a minhag of Sfardim and Chassidim to a much greater extent than a minhag, the standard minhag Ashkenaz. So what we're going to try to do tonight is, first of all, just to go through the chapter of Tehillim to try to understand it on the most basic of levels. And then we'll see a very interesting artistic idea, which is associated with this Kapitel Tehillim, a very, very unusual crossroads between a Kapitel Tehillim and art. And I'll explain what I mean, Be'ezus Hashem, in a little bit as we continue going through the Kapitel. L'mnaseach ben Ginos Mizmor Shir. For the choir master on the Neginos, again, the Neginos is a certain type of musical instrument. Mizmor Shir, this is a psalm and a song. Elokim Yechonenu Vivarchenu. Hashem should show us grace and He should bless us. Yo'er Ponov Itanu Selah. Let Him shine His face with us. Selah. So Mefarshim point out that the words here are somewhat reminiscent of the Birkas Kohanim. Right, Yivorechecha Hashem v'Yishmerecha, Yo'er Hashem Pono v'Ilecha v'Chunecha. Again, it's not exact, but the idea of bracha of chen and ha'aras ponim, of blessing, of grace, and of shining the face, are here in this pasuk the same way they are in Birkas Kohanim. Okay, so God should bless us. Lodas ba'aretz darkecha, in order to recognize in the land your way, Hashem, b'chol goyim yeshua secha, and to recognize your salvation among all of the nations. Yoducha amim Elokim, Hashem, all of the nations should acknowledge you. Yoducha amim kulam, all of the nations should acknowledge you, Hashem. Yismechu v'rananu le'umim, the nations should rejoice and shout out. Kisishpot amim mishor, because you will judge the nations with justice. Ulo umim ba'aretz tanchem sela, and the nations in the land you will lead sela. Yoducha amim Elokim, let the nations acknowledge you, Hashem. Yoducha amim kulam, let all of the nations acknowledge you. Eretz nosno yivula, the land has given forth its produce. Yivarchenu Elokim Elokeinu, may Hashem our God bless us. Yivarchenu Elokim, Hashem will bless us. V'yiru also kol afsei aretz, and even to the edges of the earth, everyone will fear Hashem. The relatively short Kapitel Tehillim. One of the things that's very striking about this Kapitel Tehillim is that it's very universalistic in its focus, meaning there's really no direct mention of Klal Yisrael. There's a constant focus on the nations of the world, the entire world. B'chol goyim, yoducha amim Elokim, yismichu v'ranenu le'umim, Ulaumim ba'aretz tanchim sela. Yiro sokol afsei aretz. The picture which is depicted over here is that the entire world is going to come to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's actually borne out by another interesting fact. The Shem Hashem is not mentioned anywhere in the Kapitel Tehillim. God is always referred to as Elohim. So again, Elohim means various different things, but one of the meanings and one of the significances of Elohim is that Elohim is the general name of God, as opposed to Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is the way that we, the Jewish people, experience HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here, the references to Elohim, 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 in other words, God, as recognized by the nations of the world. This is a Kapitel Tehillim that doesn't really focus on Klal Yisrael and its unique relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Instead, the focus is on, you know, Elohim, the universal God of the entire world, and how the entire world at some point is coming to acknowledge Him. Rav Hirsch, in his commentary to this chapter of Tehillim, points out that in a sense the chapter of Tehillim is really divided up into three parts. And as we know, the word Sela is oftentimes used as a way of marking the end of a paragraph. Right? So if you look, there are two selas, right? One at the end of Pasuk Beis, one at the end of Pasuk Hei, right? So it essentially divides up the chapter of Tehillim into three parts. Says Rav Hirsch, the first part, Psukim Aleph through Beis, speak about how Hashem is blessing the Jewish people specifically. It doesn't mention the Jewish people, but it uses the terminology of Birkas Kohanim. As we spoke about before, Elohim Yechonenu Vivarchenu Yair Panav Itanu Sela. Again, those are terms that are taken from the Birkas Kohanim, which applies to Klal Yisrael. Then we, the Jewish people, are able to influence the leaders of the nations to be able to see Hashem. That's the second paragraph. Well, Das Ba'aretz Darkecha B'chol Goyim Yishu Asecha. And finally, from Pasuk Vav to the end, says Rav Hirsch, is that not only are the leaders of the nations convinced of the existence and their relationship with God, but even, you know, the common folk, you know, the regular people out there, are able to appreciate that there's a God in the world, so that by the time we finish the Kapitel, the Jews, the non-Jewish leaders, and the non-Jewish common folk have all come to appreciate the role of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. Again, a very, very universalistic Kapitel Tehillim that speaks of the entire world recognizing God. One of the things that's very fascinating about this Kapitel Tehillim is that there is art, traditional art, associated with the Kapitel. We usually don't think of, you know, art and chapters of Tehillim, but here there's an ancient tradition among the Mekubalim in particular, that this Kapitel Tehillim is supposed to can be and maybe should be organized in the shape of a menorah. And what I'm going to do is actually pass around a few Sfardi Sidurim. In Sfardi Sidurim, and sometimes in the Nusach Sfard Sidurim, this Kapitel Tehillim is arranged in the format of a menorah. So we can pass that around. It's on page 88 in the Sidurim I'm passing around. So what this menorah depicts in a very, very, you know, striking fashion is that there really are, I mean, there are eight psukim in this Kapitel Tehillim. The first pasuk, in a sense, is kind of like a title. The way they write it out is it's in the cups of the menorah. And then the seven psukim that follow are each written out on one of the branches of the menorah, starting from one end, and then the middle pasuk, Pasuk Hei, is the middle branch of the menorah itself. It's also interesting to note that there are 49 words in the Kapitel Tehillim, and that's how this Kapitel Tehillim, at least in part, comes to be associated with Sfiras HaOmer, because one word of the Kapitel Tehillim corresponds to each of the days of Sfira. Right? So you have this very interesting idea that the chapter corresponds to Sfiras HaOmer, and also in a very, very graphic sense, corresponds to the menorah. And in fact, some of the Sifrei Kabbalah write, those the Mekubalim write, that when a person recites this Kapitel Tehillim, it's good for him to recite it every day. That's why by the Sfardim and the Chassidim, it's recited prior to Baruch Sha'omar, it's recited prior to Pesukei Dezimra. And the Mekubalim write that it would be good if a person could visualize while saying this Kapitel Tehillim, the Kapitel Tehillim written out as if it was in the form of a menorah. And that's why, you know, since most people don't have such a good imagination, so in the Sfardisha and the Nusach Sfard Sidurim, they write it out for you. You know, they put it in the Tzura, they put it in the format of the menorah, so that you can focus on the menorah and think whatever you're supposed to think, you know, when you see this Kapitel Tehillim written out in the form of the menorah. The question is, you know, I mean, it's very nice that you have, you know, seven main psukim in this kapitel, and you can write it out as the menorah. What significance exactly is there between the content of this chapter of Tehillim and the menorah? I mean, why would the Mekubalim say that it's such a good idea to try to visualize the menorah while reciting this kapitel Tehillim? So, on the level, let's start first with something that's on the level of pshat, and then we'll try to move into something a little bit beyond that. The author of the commentary Das Mikra on Tehillim points out that the chapter of Tehillim itself is really written in a symmetrical format. What do I mean by that? So, there's one pasuk in the Kapitel Tehillim that actually repeats itself verbatim, right? Pasuk Dalid and Pasuk Vav are exactly the same. Yaducha Amim Elokim, Yaducha Amim Kula. Right? Dalid and Vav, it's not a paraphrase, it's mamish verbatim, exactly the same pasuk. Right? So those two psukim are exactly the same as one another. Keep going back a little bit to psukim Dalid and Zayin. Pasuk Dalet says, Yaducha Amim, I'm sorry, Pasuk Gimel and Zayin, Lodas Ba'aretz Darkecha, B'chol Goyim Yeshua Secha. You know, we should know, we should recognize your ways in the land. And Pasuk Zayin also speaks about the land. Eretz Nasna Yevulo, Yivarchenu Elokim Elokeinu. So in other words, there's a certain symmetry there as well. And finally, Pesukim Beis and Ches, Elokim Yechonenu Vivarchenu, and Pasuk Ches Yivarchenu Elokim. So there's tremendous symmetry between Psukim Dalet and Vav, and as you keep moving out, the Psukim that are parallel to one another are in a sense symmetrical to one another. So the truth is, says the author of the Das Mikra, the reason it makes sense to envision the Kapitel Tehillim as being written out like a menorah is because it really is like a menorah. In other words, the same way that a menorah has a central shaft and then the branches that come out from the menorah are symmetrical with one another, so too, it really makes sense. This Kapitel Tehillim really is organized like a menorah, where there is a central pasuk and the psukim that branch out from either side of that central pasuk really do parallel one another in a very, very real way, being symmetrical. So in other words, it's not just kind of random that we associate the menorah with this chapter of Tehillim, but, you know, from a structural perspective, the chapter of Tehillim really is a menorah. It has that same symmetry which we associate with the menorah. That's on one level.
Not the Hanukkah menorah.
Right, the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Uh-huh. Right, the Mekubalim write, by the way, if you really visualize the menorah while saying this Kapitel Tehillim, it's as if you kindled the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Again, a nice thing to think about. But what does that mean? And is why should saying this Kapitel Tehillim, which, you know, doesn't speak about the menorah, doesn't even speak about the Beis HaMikdash, why should saying this Kapitel Tehillim be the equivalent of lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash? It seems a little bit strange. Right? So we just gave an explanation on a very, very simple level that the structure of this Kapitel Tehillim is similar to the menorah. Let's go a little bit deeper and we'll see how the content of this Kapitel Tehillim is also very, very related to the idea of the menorah, even though it's not clearly so at first glance. So let's put down the Tehillim for a moment and turn our attention back to Chanukah. Right? If we're going to talk about a menorah, it seems like we, you know, talk about Chanukah is good. When we were observing Chanukah, it was 70 degrees outside, so it didn't feel like Chanukah. Now, Baruch Hashem, now it's a little bit colder, so we could pretend that it's Chanukah and, you know, talk about the themes of Chanukah a little bit. We know that Chanukah obviously is tied into the idea of lighting the menorah. We also know that one of the basic ideas of Chanukah is the concept of Pirsumei Nisa, right? Of publicizing the miracle of Chanukah. Question: to whom are we publicizing the miracle? Right?
To the other people.
Okay. So let's throw out the following question, right? A person is a Jewish serviceman in the American Army. He's stationed in a army base which is located in Yehupitz, Wyoming. Yehupitz is a real town in Wyoming, right? So, you know, it's out there. So he's stationed in Yehupitz, Wyoming. There isn't a Jew around for miles and miles and miles. Even Chabad didn't make it out to Yehupitz, Wyoming. Right? So he has a shayla. Is it worth it for him to light the menorah come Chanukah time? After all, you know, there's no Jew who's going to see the lights that he kindles. So the halacha is, of course, that he does light Chanukah lift. And here, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal pointed out that it would seem that the mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa when it comes to Chanukah is not simply to publicize the miracle to Jews, but to publicize the miracle even to non-Jews as well. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal points...
The Jews light them, so they know it.
So Soloveitchik pointed out that Chanukah in this regard is a little bit different than other holidays that talk about Pirsumei Nisa, like Purim and Pesach. Because he said, you know, on Purim, how do we publicize the miracle? We read the Megillah. All right, the non-Jews don't really know what we're doing. Right? How do we publicize the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim on Pesach? We sit by the Seder, we read the Agada. Okay, the non-Jews are not invited to the Seder. Right? It's for us. But Chanukah, the Rav Soloveitchik, is unique in that the Pirsumei Nisa of Chanukah is not only to the Jews, but it's to the non-Jews as well. How do we know that that's true? So Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal quoted a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, where the Gemara asked the following question: how late can you light the Chanukah licht? So the Gemara says, you can light Chanukah licht until the Tur Medoy come home from the marketplace. Who are the Tur Medoy? So Rashi writes on that Gemara in Shabbos that the Tur Medoy were a non-Jewish nation who collected wood, that's what they did, and they were always the last ones to leave the marketplace because they were busy gathering wood, and they would wait till everybody got home and they realized that they didn't have enough wood to run their fires, so the Tur Medoy would go from home to home, looking to sell their wood. So Rav Soloveitchik says, isn't this curious? The Tur Medoy are a non-Jewish nation. Right? That's what's clear from Rashi. So why do I care when the Tur Medoy leave the marketplace? They're a bunch of non-Jews. Why do I have to be concerned with their schedule to figure out how late I can light Chanukah licht? So says Rav Soloveitchik, what you see from this Gemara is that the mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa when it comes to Chanukah licht is not just to let other Jews know about the miracle. It's even to let the non-Jewish world know about the miracle. And you know, the proof of the pudding is that we do something which everyone in the world, Jew and non-Jew, can appreciate. Megillah reading is only really going to be significant for a Jewish person. Sitting around the Seder table is only really significant for Jews. But putting a candle or a bunch of candles in your window is something that a non-Jew could appreciate as well. Right? So in other words, you know, the same Jews who walk by, the same way that Jews walk by your window and see the Hanukkah lit, so non-Jews also walk by the window, they see the menorah, and the concept of Pirsumei Nisa applies to them as well. Okay, so let's take that one step further. So, granted that there's a concept of Pirsumei Nisa for non-Jews when it comes to Hanukkah lit, why is that? You know, why is it that the mitzvah of lighting the menorah on Hanukkah is meant to convey a message not only to the Jewish world, but to the non-Jewish world as well? So here too, Rav Soloveitchik said, let's go back to the menorah and the Beis HaMikdash. Right? The Gemara Masechta Yuma makes a very interesting statement about the menorah and the Beis HaMikdash. It says as follows. Says the Gemara Masechta Yuma, Eidus hi l'chol bo'ei olam shehashchina shora b'Yisrael. The menorah in the Beis HaMikdash was a testimony l'chol bo'ei olam to all of the people in the world that God's presence rested upon the Jewish people. What does that mean? So the Mefarshim over there explained the Gemara as follows. There was a miracle that took place every single day in the Beis HaMikdash concerning the menorah. We think about the miracle of the oil, you know, burning extra days at Hanukkah time, but the truth is, on some level, that was actually a daily miracle that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohen would light the menorah every afternoon. He put in enough oil to burn through the night, and that's it. The Kohen would come back every morning, and the central light of the menorah would have continued burning hours after it was supposed to go out, and that was miraculous. Right? In other words, there was a nightly Hanukkah miracle that took place every single night in the Beis HaMikdash. The middle light, the middle lamp of the menorah would continue burning hours after, by natural law, it should have gone out already, based on the amount of oil that was placed into it. Says the Gemara concerning that miracle, Eidus hi l'chol bo'ei olam. You know, only a few people ever actually saw that, but once the word got out, that is supposed to be a sign for all of the people in the world that God's presence is, you know, in the Jewish people. So in other words, says Rav Soloveitchik, the message that the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to convey is a universal message. Right? The message of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash is not just a message for the Jewish people. The message of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash is Eidus hi l'chol bo'ei olam. It's a testimony for all of the people in the world that there's a God and that God has this unique relationship with the Jewish people. This idea, the universality of the menorah and its message, is also brought out in comments that a lot of the Mefarshim, both Rishonim and Achronim, make regarding the seven branches of the menorah. Why seven branches? So a lot of commentaries explain, we know that the menorah is supposed to be the symbol of wisdom, right? Classically, there were thought to be seven branches of wisdom in the world. The menorah represents those seven branches of wisdom. Now, those seven branches of wisdom are not uniquely Torah wisdom, right? The seven branches of wisdom include astronomy, mathematics, music, you know, all kinds of what we call secular disciplines. Why would the menorah be associated with secular disciplines, with secular wisdom? And the answer would seem to lie in this idea again, that the menorah is a symbol that's relevant not only to the Jewish people, but to the world at large. If the menorah represented Torah exclusively, so that would be a message to the Jewish people. But if the menorah represents the Shiva Chachmas, if it represents the seven branches of wisdom, which are universal, you know, that everybody, Jew or non-Jew, can appreciate astronomy, mathematics, music, right? So then the menorah is a universal symbol. It's not just something which, is relevant to Jews and that's it. There's something universal about the menorah. The menorah represents the idea that everybody recognizes that there's a God in the world. Everybody recognizes God's unique connection to the Jewish people. And everybody recognizes those wisdoms, which are ways ultimately to come to the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's a universal aspect to the menorah. Mimela, says Rav Soloveitchik, it's not surprising that the holiday of Chanukah, where the basic idea of Chanukah is to light the menorah in our houses, it makes sense that the Pirsumei Nisa of the menorah in our houses should be like the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. If the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash had a message for the entire world, so the menorah in our houses also has a message for the entire world, and thus the Pirsumei Nisa of that menorah, the menorah we light in our houses, is a Pirsumei Nisa not only for Jews, but for non-Jews as well. That's what Soloveitchik explained, the whole idea of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash and how it ties in to the concept of Chanukah. Let's take that idea and now go back to our Kapitel Tehillim and the Mekubalim. So the Mekubalim write that, you should visualize the menorah when reading this Kapitel. Some Siddurim, many Siddurim go so far as to actually do the work for you. They do the heavy lifting, right? They make the, they write out the Kapitel Tehillim in the form of a menorah. And the Mekubalim write that if you say this and you visualize the menorah, it's as if you're lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. I don't understand. Again, because it happens to fit nicely into the form of a menorah, we should imagine that we're lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash when we say this Kapitel Tehillim. What's the connection? So I think based on Rav Soloveitchik, we get a connection. Right? So we're going to use Rav Soloveitchik to explain the Mekubalim. I don't know if that's such a natural shidduch, but okay, let's go with it. Right? Rav Soloveitchik is telling us that the whole theme of the menorah in the Mikdash is a universal theme. This Kapitel is about the entire world recognizing the existence of God, the greatness of God, the bracha of God. So the universal theme of this Kapitel fits in beautifully with the universal theme of the menorah itself. The menorah is a universal symbol. So, what better connection to a universal symbol than a Kapitel that brings out that idea of, God being recognized by the entire world. This Kapitel is describing what we hope that menorah is going to accomplish. So it shouldn't be surprising that the Kapitel graphically can be depicted as a menorah, because the idea behind both of them is really the same. So let's take this one step. Yeah.
The menorah in Beis HaMikdash was of seven kanim. Shivati mei ha-shavua. The middle kanim. Ha-orot ha-chupanim su-pnima. Ha-yom ha-shvi u-ha-yom ha-kadosh she-lichvodo nivru u-shefi payam.
Right. And the middle branch, if we say that, yeah, it's Shabbos. So we know there's a concept of the 3 days before Shabbos and the 3 days after Shabbos, right? In other words, Shabbos is the middle. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are all facing towards Shabbos. Then Sunday, Monday, Tuesday are all getting their kiddusha from the Shabbos that passed, right? So in other words, you can use it to depict the 7 days of the week as well.
Light in general means Torah or learning. Light means a lot of good things.
Right, absolutely.
Freedom, and that's why we want to pursue my Niso. We want the people to find out why is this the Mandela, what does it tell us? So we tell them that we fought for freedom, and that's light. Anything that helps the people to be free. And
right, so Soloveitchik is saying that the idea, behind the menorah is something not just about the story of Hanukkah. On Hanukkah we take the opportunity to spread the message of the menorah and the Beis HaMikdash, right? So in other words, if that message was a message of Eidosi L'choboi Olam Shashchina Shara B'Yisrael, that it's teaching the entire world that the Shechina is in Klal Yisrael, so then, that's the message that we're teaching at Hanukkah to everybody, to the entire world at large.
What is Shechina?
Right, so the feeling of closeness to Hashem.
Good thing.
Right, okay, all right, yes, I can say it like that. Right, no, absolutely. Right, I mean, this kapitel is also focused, towards the coming of Mashiach in the future. Right, so let's take that idea actually and build on that for a moment. So we mentioned that there's a minhag, especially in the Yekesha communities, to sing this kapitel Tehillim before Ma'ariv on Motzei Shabbos. Okay, where does that come from? What's the idea behind that? So we know that Shabbos is supposed to be Me'ein Olam Haba, right? It's supposed to be a little bit of a sense of what's going to be in the world to come. Now, when Shabbos finishes, we go back to the regular, ordinary weekdays. But we hope, as Shabbos finishes, that we, that vision of wonderful things that we saw on Shabbos, right, of Olam Haba, of hopefully the entire world recognizing the glory of Hashem, we hope that we're able to see it in real time, not just to have a vision of it of the future, but to actually see it actualized in our lifetimes. So, when we're going into the tefillos, when we're going into Motzei Shabbos, we preface it by saying this kapitel Tehillim, Hashem, halavai, as we experience Shabbos on such a high level, we look forward to seeing a time in this world where all of the nations are able to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to acknowledge His greatness. That would seem to be the idea behind saying it Motzei Shabbos before Shabbos is about to leave.
You want to hold on to Shabbos.
Want to hold on to that idea of Shabbos.
Yom Rishon b'Shabbat, Yom Sheni b'Shabbat.
So that also is perhaps the reason why it's connected to Sfiras HaOmer. We mentioned that there are 49 words in this chapter of Tehillim, and that if you look at the Sidurim, each day of Sfira is associated with a different word. Right? We know there are all kinds of Kabbalistic things associated with the different days of Sfiras HaOmer, the different Sfiros, with the different days. So if you look in the back of the Sidurim, they write, we recite this kapitel Tehillim, and they show you how each day, the first day of Sfira is Lam Natseach, the second day of Sfira is Beneginos, the third day of Sfira is Mizmor, etc., until you get to day 49. Again, what's the connection between this and Sfira Saomer? Sfira Saomer is counting towards Matan Torah. Ultimately, if everybody in the world were to accept the fact that God gave the Torah to the Jewish people and would accept those ideals of Torah, we would be able to fulfill this kapitel Tehillim. So every year as we count towards the Sfiras HaOmer, we think about this chapter of Tehillim and we wish that maybe this year when we celebrate Shavuos, and we reenact the Matan Torah, the rest of the world is going to recognize that the Torah is a good thing. The Torah isn't a reason to hate the Jewish people. The Torah should be something that they should think about accepting themselves, right? And that the values of Torah should be something that they take into their own lives as well. So again, you have a very interesting kapitel Tehillim that thinks about the entire world recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We use it at different times during the year and we draw it as the menorah, because that helps us recognize that the menorah itself is all about the nations of the world appreciating the existence of God, appreciating the unique connection that Hashem has with the Jewish people. And halavai, we should be zochet to see that time where the kapitel Tehillim is actualized, is realized. Okay, well, let everybody get home safely, Be'ezus Hashem. And next week we will pick up at the... No, we won't. Right. No, as a matter of fact, we won't. Wait, so next week we're going to be off, Be'ezus Hashem. Next week in light of the Chasana, Be'ezus Hashem, Moshe Arv's Chasana, we should have a Mazel Tov. Right. I have the dates right? It is next week already, right? Good, very good, okay. So we will be off next week. Her son's getting married.
Who's
Her son Moshe is getting married, B'Shal Tov.
So then we will be. What's that?
Right.
What's that? No class next week. And so we'll be resuming Be'ezus Hashem the following week at the regular time.
Next parak is making up for it.
Oh, right.